Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this edition of the Football History Rewind, part number 21, we discuss the 1904 season with its new rules and the top teams from the college and the professional ranks, all coming up to you in just one moment as we go through football year by year.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, your portal to positive football history, and welcome to part number 21 of the Football History Rewind, where we go through the football history year by year. You know, we have our day by day where we cover all 365 days of the year, 366 in leap year, and now we have the Football History Rewind year by year. And we're up to the year of 1904. We're doing these in chronological order. In 1904, the game of football was at a point where changes were occurring on and off the field. Bad press on how brutal the game was mounting, and the game's detractors were popping up almost everywhere. Rules makers and administrators were still scratching their heads, a little bit nervous too, on what they could do to help the sport to survive the onslaught of negativity. Perhaps the biggest change to the rules in 1904 was the award of a successful field goal. In previous years, a kick between the pipes was worth 5 points, the same exact as a touchdown at that point in time. A TD was increased from 4 to 5 points in 1898, as you remember, and crossing the goal line with the ball would not take the final jump to being a six-pointer until 1912. We'll talk about that in about 8 episodes from now. But another rule revision adopted in 1904 stemmed out of compromise to a 1903 ruling, according to Timothy Brown's book, How Football Became Football. The 1903 rule allowed the player receiving a snap to run with the ball provided they stayed within 5 yards, right or left of the center, but only outside each 25-yard line. To aid officials in the task of determining the distance, the home team was required to mark a 5-yard grid pattern from one 25-yard line stripe all the way to the other at the opposite end of the field. So these grids were not inside the 25s or the 24-yard line to the goal line, not on there at that point. The 1904 revision expanded this checkerboard grid marking pattern to go from goal line to goal line. Now we do have it from goal to goal, checkerboard pattern, big giant 5-yard squares all over the place. Now, our friend Timothy Brown points out that some schools, to save a couple bucks on chalk, only partially mark the 5-yard grids at the intersections with other lines. And thus, the first semblance of our modern hash marks were set upon a football field, 1904. I bet you'll know that one at your next trivia questions that you have at your local watering hole. Well, we had some college games and some great teams in 1904. And the debate on who the national championship college football yet again had multiple entries set forth years later by experts. The National Championship Foundation, well, they named Michigan with their 10-0 record and the University of Pennsylvania at 12-0 as the co-champs for 1904. Park H. Davis, one of our favorite historians, and the Helms Foundation group decided that the Penn Quakers solely earned the right to the title. The website tiptop25.com has some really interesting twists to throw out there for who should claim that title. They put Minnesota with a 14-0 record And Yale at 10-1 is having claims to the national championship as well. But Yale's only setback was a 6-11 loss to Army. But a loss is a loss, and I think in my mind's eye, they're out of contention for the top spot. Well, another forerunner that the Tip Top 25 brings up is the University of Pittsburgh in 1904 was known as Western University of Pennsylvania, or WUP, and they are considered by many experts to be the sibling school to the University of Penn. The Western would adopt their current name of Pitt. They would do that in 1908, so WUP, Western University, until through the 1907 season. Well, WP ended up 10-0 in the 1904 season, but their quality of opponents was not anywhere near the other three schools in contention. Vanderbilt also had a 10-0 record that year, but again, they played weaker teams than Michigan, Penn, and Minnesota. And this is all proven out on Tip Top 25. They do a really nice job on there. You got to make sure you check out their website. We have a link to it in our show notes of the podcast transcription on pigskindispatch.com. For this episode, part number 21 of the Football History Rewind. So make sure you check that out. What they do is they've made up their own fictional mock AP 25, if they had the top 20, 25 teams. They did it. I think they actually went up to a top 40, and they sort of ranked all the opponents of all these teams to see how many of them played the top schools. And again, I believe it was Vanderbilt and Pitt only played one each, where you had multiple times that Michigan, Penn, and Minnesota played top 40 teams. Now, they went through a really nice selection process, so make sure you give them some love on the shout-out, tiptop25.com. Look up their 1904 season. So, and they have, with all their rankings and looking at everything, they also chose the Penn Quakers as the outright winners of the 1904 National Championship. Now, on the pro circuit in 1904, we had some very interesting developments. As you remember, at the end of the 1903 season, a seismic shift in where the professional level of gridiron was centered occurred. Pro football sprung up in western Pennsylvania in 1892, as you remember, and at the top teams of the late 1890s through 1903, when Franklin, Pennsylvania claimed the title, were pretty much a Pennsylvania-dominated thing. If you want to learn more about that, the Franklin, Pennsylvania team, make sure you check that out on our early pro teams. We have one right there on Franklin. This changed, though, at the tail end of the 1903 season, when the professional football was glamorized in Ohio when the Maslin Tigers, a strong amateur team, hired four Pittsburgh Stars paid roster members to play in a season-ending game against local rival Akron. We know from our friend and author Greg Fasari that his great-grandfather, Bob Shiring, was one of these four Pittsburgh players on the Maslin roster in 1904. Other Pittsburgh Stars former players that migrated west to Maslin were Jack Lang and Harry McChesney. The ProFootballHOF.com website says this about the pro football locational shift. At the same time, pro football declined in the Pittsburgh area, and the emphasis on the program moved from west from Pennsylvania to Ohio. The state of Ohio in 1904 had at least 7 or 8 teams considered to be paid and professional according to the American Football Database. They were the Maslin Tigers, Columbus Panhandles, Canton Bulldogs, Akron East Ends, Toledo Maroons, Franklin Athletic Club of Cleveland, not to be confused with one of Pennsylvania, Shelby Blues, and the Shelby Athletic Club. And speaking of the Shelby AC, they made history in 1904 by signing halfback Charles Fallis to a contract, making him the first known black pro football player. But Maslin won the Ohio Independent Championship, and that was basically the national pro title of 1904. Rumors surfaced about forming an Ohio statewide league to control the out-of-control player salaries brought on by the constant bidding for players and to write universal rules of the game. A proposal to add teams from outside Ohio, such as the Latrobe Athletic Association, and to form a formal league known as the Football Association, well, it fell through prior to the 1904 season. However, this very weak attempt to start a league failed, and the mythical Ohio League kept the course as the main quasi-organized professional football in the land. We're able to give this in-depth look from so long ago in history by careful research, using someone whose contemporary period is best source. So a very special shout out to our main source of reference information in this article from Park H. Davis in his 1911 book, Football, the American Intercollegiate Game. I'd also like to thank Timothy Brown and his great book, How Football Became Football, the First 150 Years of the College Game, and Tip Top 25 with their great look at the 1904 season in college and giving some their mock AP Top 40. Just tremendous work by all of those folks, and we appreciate them. Give a great picture of football in 1904. We hope you'll join us next week as we move on to, guess what? Yeah, Football 1905 and Football History Rewind Part number 22. Make sure you check it out. And look for us each and every day here on PigskinDispatch.com. We'll bring you some football history day by day in our football history headlines. And we also have our early pro teams coming up every Monday. And don't forget about those great scandals and controversies of football on midweek on Wednesdays. Also, look for our sister website and podcast coming soon. And this is the Sports Jersey Dispatch. And we're going to be having a lot of days there where we're going to have some crossovers and talk about the history of sports and athletes by using their jersey numbers and uniform numbers and sweater numbers. So I think you'll enjoy all those. Some great podcasts, some great websites. And don't forget to check out our new audio drama that we're a part of, Orville Mulligan, Sports Writer. Also found on your favorite podcast provider, just like Pigskin Dispatch Podcast and Sports Jersey Dispatch Podcasts are. Again, we're all members of the Sports History Network, sportshistorynetwork.com. And you can find us at pigskindispatch.com and jerseydispatch.com. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans, this is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.